Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity together tonight to be able to spend time with you and our brothers and sisters in the Lord, growing in the things of God, learning what you're saying to us. And God, we come to learn of you, as you said for us to do, and we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. We thank you, Father, that you will teach us, lead us, guide us, and bring us in all truth. And we cancel the assignment of the enemy.
Yes.
We know that his destination is not good. We remind you, enemy, Satan, we remind you that you are headed to the lake of fire.
Yes, you are.
And that you have no business in this place tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no sense in you coming to try to disrupt anything. This word is going to good ground to bring forth great fruit and abundance. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Let's go to Romans. We're in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to hit one of the scriptures that we have hit several times, and we're going to move on from there. But we're getting into
some
really deep water as it goes here. And so as we go into Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at, verse number 16 will give us a running start to verse number 18, which is where we're going to start getting into some very interesting conversation here. So let's, we do have a reader with a microphone, so if you can go ahead, stand up, reader, read Romans chapter 1. Starting at verse number 16, take your time, take a break in between each one of those scriptures, 16, 17, and 18, because we'll probably have something to say about those things. But let's go ahead. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
All right, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to read this myself out of the New King James Version, try to give a little more English understanding. I do love the King James, but this New King James Version helps to break it down a little better. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And last time we were together, we went through that challenge. Are you ashamed? Have you ever been ashamed? What do you do when you are ashamed? How do people act when they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Now, this is going to relate to verse number 18, 19 on through, because there is an attitude that people can get where they hide from the Lord or hide from their beliefs and hide from people that, you know, really we shouldn't have to hide from, because, you know, there is no respecter of persons with God. But anyhow, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, okay? It's good news. It's the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. The gospel, the good news, the preaching that you're getting out of the gospel, the word that you read, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. If you need power to change things, you must use what has the power, and that power is in the gospel, the good news. It is the power. And this is why those that don't come to receive the word of God, don't read the word of God, don't quote the word of God, don't memorize the word of God, don't study the word of God, they seem to be powerless Christians. Because what we can do is we can use the word of God just to get saved and miss hell and have a ticket to heaven. Yes, you have the ticket to heaven, but we're missing the power. We're not supposed to live a powerless life. We are supposed to be individuals, not just Paul in the Bible, not just Peter, not just, you know, James and John and all the rest of the disciples. We are supposed to be people full of the power of God. And the way we get full of the power of God is by getting full of the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that causes us to have the power of God. Did you hear what I just said? Now, this is important because a lot of us don't realize what it takes to be able to have what God wants us to have. Go ahead, Michelle.
Can we go to that scripture? You can help me. I think it's in Hebrews.
What are we talking about?
Where it talks about that
4:12.
How good is the the
Okay, 412? Go ahead. Maybe
Yeah, those that preach the gospel. Because we need a preacher. We need we need preachers in our lives, and so
that's Romans 10 and starting at verse number 8.
I got a new Bible.
Romans 10, yeah.
Okay. So anyway,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Sort of weird not seeing it all marked up because you are a marker.
I know.
Person.
I know.
Okay. So let's go to Romans 10th chapter. She wants to go there. We're going to, I'm telling you, Romans is loaded because Romans is the instruction to the church.
Oh, well, we're
going to
get to Romans. You want to, well, we can go now.
No, let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, because you know how it is.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do
that. So it says, and that's why, you know, people, why do I need to go to church? Because you need faith. Because as we, and plus the power, I guess we're on the power. We didn't read the just shall live by faith, huh? We stopped for it is the power of God.
Right. That's where we stopped so far.
Right. And so we need power. And sometimes people, they'll go through things and, you know, I'll talk to them and sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes it's just that they don't have enough word in them.
You said that before.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
True.
And sometimes you know, you see, you know, they miss services, too many services. And they just are missing the power. Because power is going to drive out the things that you don't want in your life,
right.
The word of God. And so they're missing the power, and that's one of the reasons why you come to church, so you can receive power, so we could be empowered
right.
by the word of God. And so that's why we need a preacher in our life, because somebody, you know, sometimes people say, well, why do you need a preacher? So here it is. And I was going to go to that other scripture, too, and I don't know if you want to go
Which
there.
One?
About the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah, but okay. But let's just read this one, I guess.
Okay.
So it says, how then shall, now listen to what it's saying, okay? How then shall they call on him, speaking of Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in, you could say Jesus, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in that area of whom they have not heard? So you have to hear about healing. You have to hear that you have the authority of God in your life. And it says, and I like to say it like this, how then shall they call on him? How can you call on God in different areas in whom they have not believed? Because you have to hear before you can believe.
Right, right, right.
The question is, then how shall they believe?
Right.
How can they believe in whom they have not even heard? So you have to hear about healing. You have to hear about your deliverance. You have to hear these things.
Yeah.
And that's why picking and choosing services, is as long as that door is open for a service, you can be there, be there.
Well,
because
even picking and choosing who you're going to hear, your professor is not on the same level as your pastor.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I'll say it this way. It says preacher, as your preacher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Unless your professor is teaching something having to do with Jesus Christ, whatever they're teaching is limited to this earth.
Yes.
But I'm not anti, I got more schooling than most, you know, and I'm not bragging, but I'm just, I just keep going to school because I just keep going. But anyhow, I'm not anti-education, but I'm saying we cannot use education to replace the spiritual revelation that we need. See, because it's one thing to have information or education, it's another thing to have revelation on how to use that information or education. And sometimes we can have a lot of knowledge, but not know how to use it. And God wants to give us the wisdom, and we should, you know, and this sounds self-centered, but the Lord told me to jump on into it. We really need to regard our preachers stronger than what we do. Now, this church doesn't have as much of a problem as some churches.
Right.
Because, you know, and I believe preachers, because they're bringing you this. And this is being said to all, to everybody that needs power in the body of Christ. How can you get it? He's asking the question. God's asking the question through the book of Romans here with Paul. How can you get power, to get healed without hearing about it? If you don't hear about it, you won't know that you can be healed. And some people, and I remember a lady remember she had a friend. She was a politician here in Tacoma, and she was part of our congregation, and she was an attorney, and her husband was an attorney. They were part of this ministry. Actually, he worked for the IRS, too, as an attorney. But they were part of this congregation, and she brought one of her friends, a politician friend, with her to church because this lady had cancer, and she needed to get healed. But she could not put her faith into what God was saying as much as she did with all of her education, with all of the degrees that she had and all this other stuff, and she died of cancer. And God, had she believed, because you can't just hear, you have to believe what you hear. And see, we just did television programs today, and God has revealed to me to begin to talk about preeminence, that people have preeminence. And it talks about a guy by the name of Diotrephes in 3 John, verse number 1. Chapter 1, there's only one chapter. And then in the 9th and 10th verse, it talks about a guy by the name of Diotrephes who had preeminence against God, really, and other believers, and actually worked against the church even though he was part of the church. And see, we can have preeminence. What does that mean? It means, well, you got the definition. What does preeminence mean? It means that you are better than God. You don't need God. And people can be that way. It's literally being prejudiced against God to where you are preeminent. And we know people like that. You work with people like that, that don't believe they need God for anything. Well, even if they heard the gospel, they've got to know that they've got to believe the gospel, not just hear the gospel. But how shall they believe even without a preacher? How are they going to hear? How are they going to be able to believe? We have to have preaching coming to us. And this sounds coming from a preacher, sort of self-centered, but that's not the case. We just need this system of preaching. That's how God set it up.
Yeah.
It's just how God set it up. He set it up to where we get, and I'm saying, whatever addiction you have, come in and trade that addiction for an addiction for the word. To where you may have been addicted on alcohol, pornography, addicted on you know, pills or whatever it was, or your own self. You just love yourself so much. Whatever the addiction is, come in and trade that addiction in for an addiction for the word of God, and you'll receive the power that you need. But there are people that are preeminent even against God. Forget about being preeminent against one another. We know that people have classism and racism and all these other things that go on where they think they're better than somebody else. It's going to be a real rude awakening for some people. You can find out you were not better than anybody because God is no respecter of persons. And so how can we have that with God, be preeminent against God and what he does? Well, it's hard to then see the power that God's word has when you have contempt for those that preach it or for his word, when you don't think it's very important.
And that's how we get that power, is through the word of God. For it says, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So there are people that don't believe.
Right.
And that salvation says, think about it, says, for it is the power of God to salvation. That word salvation is sozo. And it means also peace, health, wealth, protection. So you could say the power of God to peace. It's the power of God to your health. It's the power of God to wealth, you know, protection. And that's why going back to Romans chapter 10, the preacher is very important, the right preacher in your life, preaching the word of God, because it says, how can you believe all this? How can you believe for peace and health and wealth and protection? How can you believe the power that we can be empowered with all this if you don't believe and you don't hear?
Right.
And so, and then I love where it says here, let me see here. Let's see. How beautiful, this is 15, how beautiful the middle of this sentence are the feet of them, see, that preach the gospel of peace. There it is. Mm-hmm. The gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things.
Mm-hmm.
So the word of God is a power of God, and it brings us good things.
Amen.
And we'll never really realize, and I wrote this down too, that because we'll get to the just shall live by faith, but I wrote this down and says, that too many, even Christians, are not living their full potential because they don't have, you know, they have the power of salvation. They're saved, go to heaven, but they're living a life that God wants them not to really live.
Right.
Because we have to live by faith, and we need, you know, and when it says live by faith, we're talking about we're going to live by the power of God, too, our faith is in the word of God, which is the power of God. So it all works together, and we just don't have, we must understand that we have to hear the word of God, and we have to hear it on a regular basis, because it says, so
it
then,
is the power.
Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by the way, this is the King James Bible, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and so faith will come, but faith can leave.
You use up your faith.
Yeah, you do.
Every day, you use your faith up.
Yeah.
You have challenges going on in your life. You use that faith up. You got to replenish that faith.
Just it's like sort of like gas in your car, right?
Or fuel in an airplane. You use up that. You use up that.
Doesn't that fuel give that airplane the power?
It sure does. That without the fuel, the engines will stop, and you're not going to go through the air.
So anymore. We have to hear. Not having heard. It didn't say something comes by having heard.
That's
but
like
hearing.
Trying to
hearing
live off is, the fumes that you burned up.
Yeah. So hearing
because
is,
you burned up the fumes.
Right.
I mean, you see a vapor trail from an airplane. It burned up the fuel, and that's what you see in ice crystals and all this
and
other stuff.
And hearing is continual.
Right.
You know, we have to hear. Hearing is a continual thing. It's not having heard.
Right.
So we have to hear and hear and hear and hear.
It is the power of God. I want to say it again. Yeah. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. Now think about it. God of the universe, God says that his word is the power of God. It is the power of God. So if you need the power of God to heal you, you need the power of God to be able to prosper you, you need the power of God to keep that marriage together, you need the power of God to be able to straighten those kids out, you need the power of God to rescue you. It is the power of God. It is the word of God is the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. It's like saying gasoline is your fuel. Gasoline is your fuel. Gasoline is your fuel. Gasoline is your fuel. Don't put milk, as nice as milk is, in your gas tank. Because it's not going to fuel. It has vitamin D maybe and all this other stuff. A little bit of calcium, but it's not going to move you down the road. Your car is built to take gas, diesel, or electricity, whatever it is. You've got to put that in there, and you've got to settle this. Because, see, when you see that the word of God is the power of God, go to Psalms 107, verse 20. Go to Psalms 107, verse 20. Just put it up there. When you realize that the word of God is the power of God, it's like having power in your hand. It's like having a grenade. Throw it over there and change things. Blow up where the enemy is messing with me. Okay? And so you send the word. You send the word. He, speaking of God, sent his, capital H, that's God, that's Jesus. He sent his word and healed them. You can send the word to somebody at home, somebody in your hometown, somebody in the other side of the world. You can send the word through prayer, through speaking the word, and heal them by speaking the word. Well, what word do I speak, Pastor? This word. Send this word. That God, you said you sent the word and healed them. I call them healed in Jesus' name, and I send the word right now.
All
that's the word of God.
All the way to Chicago in Jesus.
You know, to Egypt, wherever the person is. I send that word because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. I mean, you know, you got situations going on where your life is being threatened. You better use the word of God, you know, because fear ain't going to catch it. I mean, you know, you got to, it is the power of God.
And
it is the power of God.
And you see why you have to keep hearing this and hearing this and hearing this, because we're all human beings, and when we're challenged with something, sometimes the first thing we do, we do the opposite of sending the word.
Right.
Okay. And we're not sending the power to deal with the situation.
Right.
And so we're sending our feelings. Okay.
We're
sending our emotions.
We're sending the wrong words.
We're sending fear. We're sending whatever to that situation instead of sending the power to that situation.
That's not
because we're
get
human
you
beings, and you know we.
This is a whole other system to learn as a human being.
And that, you know what that tells us? We just need to be more powered up.
With
that's
the
all.
Word.
Don't get all beat up.
That's
don't
why we
beat
don't,
up yourself.
You don't come here and we read the newspaper to you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a few things about some things happening around us right now. But that's not what you're building your faith on. You're building your faith on the fact that God's word is alive and full of power.
And full of power.
Full of power. Full of power. Full of power. I want to drive this in. Full of power. You need something to change things. You need the power of the word of God. That's why you come into where the word is. And see, what the enemy wants you to do is have contempt for your preacher. Because how can they hear without a preacher? So if he eliminate the preacher out of your life, you won't come in here. Or have a preeminence. That preacher don't know as much as I know. Well, maybe he doesn't. But when the anointing hits him, he does. God will tell him all kinds. He'll tell him your business. When the anointing is being operated in that person's life, if they're living a life worthy of God being able to use them as a vessel in the kingdom. But it's not a scary thing. It's that is good news. He is the preacher of the good news. Now, we may have to bring out some bad news to let you know what the good news can do about the bad news, but we're not here to leave you with the bad news. The good news is that the bad news doesn't have to stay bad in your life. So you come up in here, you're going to hear, and that's why I say even reading the scriptures, keep reading down to the promise. You might hear about all this stuff that God's saying, you did this, you did that. Keep reading, and you're going to find God's grace and his mercy. You're going to find a promise where God will say, but if you will. But then the children of Israel did. See, they messed up, but then God will keep reading until you get to the promise. Because God has thousands of promises in his word. And that's what we live off of. We're about to read the scripture, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the promises of God. And there are more promises in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament. But I want to finish this off.
Okay.
He sent his word. He didn't send an ambulance. He didn't send a medic. He didn't send money. He sent his word and healed them.
And that's why we have to have the word of God in our mouth. Death and life is in the power. Now you can put that together. Is in the power of the tongue.
You can kill
power
yourself with your own tongue.
So we should have the word of God as the power. And then I want to give you this in Isaiah 55:11 says, so God said this, so shall my word, because I know some, you can hear people talking, well, that's God saying it. No, but the word of God should come out of our mouth, okay? And because once again, death and life is in the power. So it's the power of your words. And so we should use the word of God. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things for which I sent the word. And so it shall prosper in the things for which I sent. So now we're children of God. And we should emulate our Father in heaven. And so he spoke his word. That's how he created the heavens and the earth. And we need to speak the word of God. The power of God should come out of our mouth, either life or death. And it said we're going to partake of the fruit of either life or death if you keep reading that.
Right.
So there's you're producing something.
Right.
Your words are a seed.
It's alive.
Yeah. Your word is a seed, your seeds. And when you speak, and so we should speak the word of God.
That's
because
right.
You're sowing seed.
See, and we have to learn how to talk like our Father.
Yes.
Now, I'll give you an
God
example.
Talk.
Today, we were shooting television, as I said, and Faith came along with Don Jr., Pastor Don, and she came along with him, and the first thing we teach her is quiet on a set. That's the first thing we teach her. But then we said, okay, Faith, you're going to help out. What you're going to do is you're going to count us down, and then you go like this.
Mm-hmm. Count us down.
So you got to count it.
Three, two, and you can't talk on one.
Don't say one. Just go like this. I say three, two, finger.
Right.
Three, two, finger.
Yep.
And so she learned what her dad has had to learn in this business of television. She's doing that. And she counted us down for three television programs.
Yep.
She go three, two. See, and that's how we should be with the Father. If the Father can do this, we can do this. We are children of God. And if there's power in the word, where God used the word to speak everything you see in the physical into existence and has spoken what's going to happen to us when we die and get a glorified body, he said that it's going to happen to you. You will not have this body. This body is going to stay here. If he's done all of that with what he said, the world was without form and void, and he spoke to change everything. See, you got to understand, when God gives you his word that you can speak, go back to Psalms 107, verse 20. When God gives you his word, you're supposed to put it in your mouth. That's why you're supposed to come here. You're supposed to get so saturated. I remember when I was first learning aviation, one of the first things I started doing is I started listening to air traffic control, because I said, them folks talk too fast. And they do talk fast. When it's busy, that air traffic controller ain't got time to tell you nothing and he ain't got time to repeat it. You're not going to hear it again, especially if he's trying to get a whole lot of airplanes around that's on the ground. They're not going to repeat it. They don't have time to sit there and say, you say, now, what did you say about that? No, forget it, buddy. Forget it. They're not even thinking about you. So I started listening to air traffic control, and there's apps that you can do that. Listen to air traffic control. I started blah, 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 blah. And they were saying, they repeated blah, 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 blah. Because you got to read back everything they say, basically. Blah, 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 blah. After a while, I was like, just like they were. I learned their language. We've got to learn God's language. God has God talk, and it has power in it. He sent his word and healed them. Now, Jesus did this in Matthew, I believe it is, Matthew chapter 9 or chapter 10, where the centurion soldier, there was a soldier that was over 100 men, and he came and said, my servant's at home lying sick. And, you know, Jesus said, I don't need to come under your roof. He said the centurion said that.
He invited him.
That's right.
Come. He said, come on to my house.
No, Jesus said, I'll come.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I can't remember which one. We can go there. But anyhow, the upshot of the whole thing is that the man
Jesus
had enough.
That.
The man had enough faith to say,
just speak
the word only.
Yeah.
And my servant will be healed. And it says that his servant was healed in that self same hour.
Yeah, Jesus did say. He said, I'll come over.
That's right.
And heal.
Jesus
and
wanted to come and have a little.
The soldier said, no, don't come over. Always like to have fun with that. Don't come over. My house is not clean. But no, he had faith, and he said, just send your word, and my servant.
And he sent his word.
And Jesus was amazed. I mean, he said.
Yeah, because this man has faith.
I've never seen faith like this.
Not in Israel.
Yep.
And this man was not an Israeli.
Right.
He was a Roman soldier. Mm-hmm. So here we say, it says, he sent his word and healed him. And what else? And is a conjunction ties things together. Not only did he heal them and deliver them from their destructions. So you don't have to be watching your life getting destroyed. There's power in your mouth. And this is the reason why we come here. We come here like I was listening to the air traffic control to saturate myself in that. To where I understand, and sometimes Kathy hears me listen to do it. I still do it sometimes. And especially getting back from being in fog, I had to listen again to be able to get the pattern of what they do and what they say again, and some of the things that change. And she's like, what did they just say? Well, Kathy, they said, I told you today about line up and wait. you get on the runway. They used to say position to hold. And I said, but now they say, Kathy, line up and wait on the runway. You line up on the runway and wait, because they used to say position and hold. She said, well, line up and wait is much clearer to me. I said, that's why they do that, because they don't want more than one aircraft on that runway at a time. But see, we have to learn how to talk God talk. You will deliver yourself out of destructions. Your kid's going the wrong way, speak that word. Send a grenade in the enemy's camp. I call that friend of his canceled out of his life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I come against that spirit of pharmakia, those drugs and alcohol that he's using and staying out all late at night. He sent his word and delivered them from destructions. You don't have to be destroyed and sit there and watch it. Your victory is in your mouth. As soon as you start using your mouth, you will see the victory. I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. You do it every day. You don't call the dog when you want the cat. And you don't call the cat when you want the dog. You say what you really want, okay? So it's important for us to do that. All right, let's go to this Hebrews 4:12. I got to drop that along with this because I want to show you the power again. Because we're reading this. We're going to move from this and we're going to go into some other very deep areas that we got to deal with. But let's go over here now to, is that clock right? What? Who broke our clock here? You're fudging tonight. Oh, there you go. Now you fixed it. Thank you. Okay. Anyhow, look at Hebrews 4:12. Now, this is important. This is the reason why we saturate you in the word when you come here. We always want to give you the word of God because we want to give you power. My pastor, Apostle Price, he said, listen, I'm not giving you my home number so you can sit up there and call me at 3 o'clock in the morning every night. I'm going to teach you what to do. So you don't have to bug me and make me your God. I do not want you to make me your God. I picked that up and said, praise God. You know, you don't have to use your pastor as your Lord, as your God. You should be taught the word of God so that you can operate with this power. Not sitting there just got to have the pastor. Now, I'm not saying don't use, don't take that wrong and say, well, I don't need no man of God. Well, now you're preeminent.
Not only that, if they really need the pastor at that time.
There's a time when you need somebody that you know got faith for you.
Yeah, he's saying.
And cares for you.
You're not saying don't call you.
Yeah.
He's just saying that, you know, there's some things that you can do yourself. You don't need someone to pray your strength in the Lord.
Right.
You could pray
your
own
strength.
You don't
need your prayer partner every 5 seconds for everything you're doing. They don't need it on all your business. Some people can't believe with you.
Yeah, and then there's time where the Bible says call the elders of the church.
That's right.
There's a time for all things, and but not calling, you know, even your prayer partner every second, pray for me. That just goes to show you're not developing your relationship with God.
You don't see the power in the word of God when you use it.
And the power should be in you.
So you should see that when you speak, things come to pass. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and get yourself into the word. Now, you know, one of the easiest things to do, we have the word of God consistently on these phones. Get yourself a good set of headsets and go to the U version and start just listening to the word. I mean, it'll play. It'll play. Yeah, it is different from preaching.
About the word is manifested through preaching.
It's manifested through preaching, but you can get the knowledge of the word of God so that when we go to scriptures, it's not like it's so foreign to you. And so you want to familiarize yourself with it. Okay?
Plus, you have to have the word of God in your heart for it to come out of your life when you need it.
You need to know the word of God.
Because we'll read this right now.
Right.
And you'll see.
Watch this now, because we're talking about the gospel, the word of God is the power of God. Mm-hmm. It says, for the word of God, and you gotta just take this stuff face value. You just gotta take it like you would take somebody that's telling you the most serious thing in your life. For the word of God is alive or living and powerful, or I'd like to say full of power.
And the King James says the word of God is quick. I like that too.
Yeah. Quick means alive. The quick and the dead. It talks about that too. It says, for the word of God is alive or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division or dividing of soul. See, because that's your mind, will, and emotion. And your spirit man, which is different, that's what we call the heart. So it divides between the soul and spirit, and then it goes to the flesh, the word of God, and joints and marrow. That's the physical part of you. So the word of God deals with your soulish realm. This is why you can get your head back together. This is the reason why the enemy can't steal your thoughts forever. God has the power to restore your mind. I'm a witness of that.
Yes, that's right.
They pumped me up with that stupid medicine and, you know, took my ability to be able to understand even the Bible. But God brought it back, see? He brought it back in droves. And so it's alive and full of power and sharper, so it cuts between soul and spirit. It helps you to be able to cut between, because there's some things that come in your head that's not nearly in your heart.
That's true.
See, everything you think doesn't make you evil.
Yeah.
Because the enemy will submit things to you. And, you know, just because the enemy submits something to you, you think you're going to hell. Oh, I'm going to hell because I thought. The enemy submitted that thought to you. I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations. God gave me some insight on
that. But you have to rest those thoughts quickly. Don't dwell on them. Don't meditate on them.
And you have to beat them up with the word.
Yeah, with the word of God.
You check them with the word. That's in Casting Down Imaginations. And also, take control of your thoughts. You got to do that. Because it's soul and spirit. There's a difference between your soulish realm, your mind, will, and emotion, and your spirit man, which is what became born again. You got born again by the spiritual transaction, but it includes your soul. You're going to leave the other part, the joints and the marrow and all that. You're going to leave that body. That's the physical. So there's three parts to you. We call you a three-part person. The mind, will, and emotion is your soulish realm. You possess your soul. You are spirit, because you're going to be the same spirit no matter where you go, heaven or hell. You will be that person. So you have a spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. You're going to get a new body. So why put so much emphasis on this? I mean, you know, yeah, you want to make sure you're not, you know, gaining 600 pounds or whatever. But we want to make sure we take care of our bodies. But we can't put all that stuff into the body. Everybody, you know, your body is changing. You're getting older. You do look older.
What are you looking at me for?
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I did that.
Well, we are.
We are getting old.
You know, I was looking at a picture. Really, I was looking at a picture the other day.
Oh, don't make me feel bad.
No, the one that I was holding your face and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's so nice.
And I said, gosh, I look young.
You can tell.
Well, I look a little different.
I mean, you know.
That's for sure.
Your hair starts turning different colors.
Thank God.
Wrinkles come in.
Thank God we can say that, though, huh? That means we're still living.
That's right. And sometimes when you get up, you feel a little, oh, you know. For the word of God is living. It's alive. It's a living organism.
Yes.
Okay? So when you send the word, it has its own life. And it's assigned to do what it says it's going to do.
That's why it's so important to learn the word.
Oh, gosh.
So you can send the word. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And you send it by saying it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'll say that again. You send it by saying it. You send the word by saying it. Don't just say anything. Say the word. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Speaking of aircraft, they had a crash down in, I can't remember, it was Argentina, somewhere down in South America, or Central America, whatever. And one of the things, and this was in the last few days, one of the things they noted is that the last thing one of the pilots said is that, we're going to light up the city.
Oh, God.
This plane turned over, exploded, and was nothing but fire. And they're wondering if that pilot had a challenge and was somewhat suicidal in the cockpit. Because, see, words mean something. And that's why they go check your social media and all this other stuff.
That's true.
See if you've recorded something or whatever. Because most of the times we have to be able to express ourselves verbally before we do something physically. Either we'll do it in writing, but sometimes we'll do it in recordings. We'll talk to people, whatever. But, you know, they're investigating that. Of course, they'll probably really never know. But you need to know that your mouth is where your victory is. You use your mouth for the victory. I was going to a place today and I met a lady that was, well, it was at a bank. And I went to the bank and she said, oh, you're Mr. Shorter. I said, yes. I'm Mr. Shorter. I don't usually come in here. But anyhow, she said, oh, I said, where do I know that name from? I said, well, my daughter is Danae. Oh, Danae, she's such a sweetie. I couldn't get out of the bank. The lady just kept talking and talking. And it's because
and
of
that. And that was a different, that was a different
Maria
bank.
Maria says hello, by the way.
That's a different bank than another bank that I went into.
Right.
Because I didn't know that that happened. And then both of these girls, I had their ears. Oh, you're Danae's mom. Oh, my goodness. Oh, she is so sweet.
That's
oh,
exactly what this lady
and
said.
And it just opened the door for me to invite them to the church. No, they kept talking. And I said,
let me get out of here. I forgot to invite them to the church.
Yeah, you like Danae that much. Come on, she's over here, you know. And I sure did.
But see, it's because of the way she's conducting herself verbally.
Oh, they like
it. I mean, at a bank, you don't do nothing but, you know, talk to them and give them your money or whatever you're going to do. Or, you know, cash a check or whatever. But they know her by her presentation of her words. And see, all of us are known that way. Well, the enemy should know that you present the word of God to him, and then he doesn't have any space with you.
And remember, that word in Isaiah said it will not return back void to God.
That's right.
So
now, the word of God, this is just a statement that is just true. It will never change. You just got to just live with it and love it. The word of God is living, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Watch this now. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When you send out the word, it will check even things that was just, you made it look like you intended to do this, but you really intended something else to happen. And the word will check you on that. It is the discerner. Because, yeah, the Holy Spirit is working with that word.
He will check you.
He is the, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said he'll say your intent is wrong on that.
That's right.
He will correct you, and that's good.
That's right. So when you, and this is one of the reasons I think people don't like getting around the word of God or get around people that know the word or operate with the spirit, because sometimes, you know, they ain't really, whatever, you know, and they don't want to get caught, you know, because they're putting off that there's something here and they're not there. We all are growing, right? I said we're all growing. Say, I'm growing too. Make it a confession. It says, it is the discerner or the seer into. That's the way I like to get a hold of it. That is, it sees into the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Because, see, there are sins and there are iniquities. Iniquities are wrong want tos. You shouldn't want to do that. You haven't done it, but you got a wrong want to. In the back of your mind, lurking, if the opportunity comes, God just check you. He just check you with the word. Just check you. You come to church and get hit in the head. And it's like, who told that pastor about me? Ain't nobody said, who told that preacher about what's going on? See, that's one of the reasons why people don't like to come around the word of God, because it deals with the thoughts and the intents of the heart, things you have never even said. You ain't said nothing. You've never told anybody that. But God knows the heart. And God does that so that we can be able to have a blessed life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's good news that it's the thought and the intents. Because if you know that God, well, it's sort of like when we were raising our kids. You know, we told them, you can go, you know, we can leave them home. We leave them there to take care of themselves or whatever. And we're going out for a night. And we're saying, well, we'll be back at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever. Now, do what's right, be good, because we may not be here, but God knows. And it sort of put the fear of God in them a little bit,
that's
you know.
Right.
And they were like,
It's the truth, though. It's the truth.
And God does watch all things. But it's the word that's it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. So you want to increase the power in your life?
Yes.
Use the word more. Get more word in you. That's why we get here. We get here to get saturated. We want to get to the point where the word of God comes out of us no matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what we're challenged, how we're getting blessed, whatever. It's the word. The word,
and
the word.
And if the word is not the first thing that comes out of your mouth, don't beat yourself up. Just know, hey, I need more word in my life. That's all.
Right.
Because that should be the first thing that how you respond with a situation. And, you know, we all grow in this, and so don't quit on God and say, oh, this life is too hard. No, it isn't. I tell you, living outside the will of God is hard.
You ain't kidding.
Living in this world without God is hard, because I've been in the world before, and now I'm in Christ. And I'm telling you, it's hard in the world.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Christ.
It also brings a lot of fear, because you know you're not right. You know,
it's peace with the Lord.
Oh, you're not kidding.
So.
Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. We're going to try to get past this and get to at least one scripture. We got a minute and 18
seconds. Yeah, let's read the
whole.
Let's go all the way to 17, though.
Okay, let's go
on
to
17. So, reader, go ahead and read.
I think she already did, but she can read it again.
I think she stopped on, is the power of God, and then we just took that and we preached.
Let's go ahead and
roll with it. So let's just read the whole
read. I'll tell you what, read 17 and 18. That'll get us started in the new verse.
Okay.
All right. So that's Romans chapter 1, 17 and 18. Everybody here? Okay. You ready? Ready to roll? Ready to go?
For therein is the righteousness of God.
That is there. It says, for in it, speaking of the word of God, because I want you guys to think
therein,
of the word of God.
It,
okay.
In the word is where the righteousness of God is.
Okay.
Reveal from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath sowed it unto them.
Okay, now, this is a lot.
Yeah, in my Bible, in the New King James, I like sort of that word, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Right. Because we're talking about in the 16th verse, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Look, put the 16th verse up there. And it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. 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 Then in verse number 18, it says, for the wrath of God, the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth.
In unrighteousness.
But I'm trying to get to either you are exposing and using the truth or you're suppressing the truth. And see, people will literally push down the truth and will use something else other than the truth. And God's anger is why that's why his anger comes. Now, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed. God doesn't have to send any wrath to you. This world is a mess. All God has to do is step back. If he stepped back, I said it Sunday, it's, one of these services, all he has to do is step back, and it's like rain in the Northwest. You're going to get wet pretty soon, because the curse is already on this earth. The earth is still cursed. Remember that from Adam? So God doesn't have to send anything. He's not there with a baseball bat waiting to whack you on the head. You're going to see it, because God has to step back from unrighteousness. And see, we want to live righteous, and righteousness, as we saw, is tied to his word of God, to the word of God, is tied to Jesus' act of what he did on the cross for us. You're not righteous because of who you are and who you think you are. That's preeminence, thinking you're so great just because of who you are. Nobody's impressed but you, but it's not going to last long, because in eternity, you don't get to be this preeminent person. You're just like everybody else. You need Jesus.
And so when we have the righteousness of God, then it also means in right standing with God. So you will have some fruit showing that you're in right standing with God. Because, sometimes people say, I'm a Christian, but they're living like the devil. Yeah. And so that's why the Bible says you will know them. You will know them by the fruit.
See, and this is the thing that I'm saying.
Yeah.
We all grew up a certain way, but we shouldn't stay that way.
Right, we don't have to stay.
We have to learn how to come into a new life in Christ, and not live like we used to live. There's got to be some change going on.
It should be.
I mean, if you were into all this other stupid stuff, and then all of a sudden you become a Christian, you have to grow past that. We can't be little 16-year-old thinkers at 95 years old. I mean, after a period of time, we've got to grow, and spiritually. If we're growing in the things of God, our thinking should get more godly. Our words should become more godly. Our handling of our lives should be more, I thought we are the just that live by faith, not live by our past. Not live by the way we, this is the way I've always been, the way I'm going. Yeah, well, we love you, but you need to change. You need to show that God is doing something in your life. I mean, we know that's you, that's your personality, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, when I was 7 years old, I always got up early. I got up at 5:30 in the morning, even when I was 7 years old. And I went around chasing the garbage man, because that's the only one that was up.
But
well, I'm not going to do that now, okay? Not at 70, okay? I'm not going to get up in the morning because there ain't nobody else up but the garbage man and go jump on my bicycle and see if he'll let me throw something in the back of the truck so I can watch it get smashed. I mean, that was real cool. I mean, can you imagine? 7-year-old guy gets to throw a bunch of stuff in the back of the garbage man truck and he pulls the thing down. Yeah, smash. Weird. Anyhow, at 70, I'm not going to do that.
I can see how a little boy would like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see.
Yeah. I never took Don doing it, but we could
but
have
the
gone.
Bible says.
He probably would have liked it.
We're getting well, ready to close
I'm
now.
But
let me
grow.
Say this.
We got to grow.
I want to insert this. It says, this is in John 17, well, I'll read 16. They are not of the world. This is Jesus speaking, just as I am not of the world. This is a prayer he was praying. And he says, sanctify them by your truth.
That's
your
word
is truth. Because you were talking about we should live a different lifestyle. Right. Well, the word of God
will separate you.
That word sanctify means just to set you apart.
Right.
And so it's the word that will set you apart. I mean, you're not even trying to do it yourself.
Right.
You just get more word in you. You develop your relationship with
and
the Lord.
And you start changing.
And you start changing. And there's some things that you used to like that you just don't like anymore. And, you know, I've told the congregation many times about us going to the movies and how we went to this movie when we were dating each other. And we went and we saw
Lady
the movie.
Lady Sings the Blues.
And then we said,
Diana Ross.
It was another one, too, though. And then we rented that same movie after we got married.
She
it was
years, singing the blues, all right.
It was years later, really, that we rented that movie, that same movie. And we thought we were just going to enjoy it like we did when we were dating as teenagers. And we sat there, and our spirit was so grieved now that we're developing and the things of God. And it wasn't like, you know, we thought we can watch the movie. See, something was changing in us.
Right.
And we're always changing. We will continue to change until we go to heaven.
Right.
Okay? And so you're always throwing off things out of your life. Yeah.
We're
and
becoming
changing
closer and closer to the mind of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
To where we have the mind of Christ, and ultimately we will have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So
praise
we're
going to
pick this up next time on verse number 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to go through some areas that this society is suppressing the truth in. They're, you know, I'm a lifestyle teacher. I teach us about dealing with the soulless realm. And this state of Washington has a lot of that. And we're going to talk about how people are suppressing the truth and teaching things that are not according to what God says. First of all, they don't know God. And then next of all, they're just you know,
ungodly
people. I'll
write that down
people.
So we won't forget it.
So we're going to deal with that. It's going to help us to be able to know how to be able to deal with people on our everyday lives and our everyday lives and the way that they think versus what God says.
That's why
because sometimes you feel like you're such a fish out of water with everybody, you know, living a certain way. And then here you come and they're talking about this Jesus guy. And they're, what are you talking about? Or just wearing a Jesus shirt or something. And they're like, well, what's wrong with you? Who is he? I mean, you know, was he your professor or something? Is that why you got that? So we have to be able to learn how to handle these things, all right?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank God for the word. Let's make a confession. Go ahead, lead us into confession.
Well,
let's make a confession of our faith.
Make a confession. Say, God.
God.
Tonight.
I decide.
I'm deciding now. That the word of God.
Has first place.
In my mind.
In my mouth.
And in my life. God. Tonight. I recognize that the gospel, the good news, is the power of God God, tonight, I release that power of the gospel, the good news, the word of God into my life. And I ask you to help that power to work in every part of my life. I send the word to every part of my life that needs help, adjustment, change for the better. I send that word to stop anything that's causing negative situations in my life. Any destructions, they must cease. Because I'm using your word, God, as you taught me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's thank God.
You've been empowered tonight,
amen,
with the word of
God. Don't let go of that power. In
That's
Jesus'
right.
name. Amen.
Amen.